All right, in honor of Father's Day, I'm going to do what every dad in the room wants to do, which is tell father or dad jokes. Okay, you ready for this? All right, here we go. You know the point of a dad joke is not actually to be funny, right? I'm just wanting to relieve any expectations of actual laughter happening in this moment and understand the nervous little giggles that'll happen along the way here. Did you hear about the restaurant on the moon? There you go. Great food, no atmosphere. Oh. What do you call a fake noodle? What? There, it's kind of, do I really need to wait for this? An impasta. An impasta. Yeah, there you go. All right. Get it? Got that one? Woo! How many apples grow on a tree? There you go. All of them. Where else do you get apples? I don't know. Did you hear the joke about the paper? Never mind. It's terrible. The paper, terrible. Get it? You tear paper. Okay. Why did the coffee file a police report? Because it got mugged. Ooh, okay, groaners. This is good. I'm progressing. Fake laughter into groans. This is, we're entering dad territory right now. This is how it works, right? Why don't skeletons ever go trick-or-treating? Because they don't have nobody to go with them. Why couldn't the bicycle stand up? It was too tired. What'd the grape do when it got stepped down? It let out a little wine. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Just so you know, I wouldn't buy anything made out of Velcro. Total ripoff. I got head shaking. We're entering. We're there. We're so close. Let's see here. I'll do one last one. Did you hear the joke about that was... Exactly. This is how dads do jokes, right here. We start to tell them and then... All right, one last one. What do you call an elephant that doesn't matter? It's irrelevant. Ba-dum-bum. Ba-dum-bum. All right. If you're sitting near a dad, punch him on the shoulder and go, you could have totally done that, Dad. You're good. You tell the best jokes in the world. Seriously, one of the greatest experiences in life is being a parent. It is. It's one of the greatest experiences in life. One of the greatest joys of my life. I know that there are many who would say the exact same, that their hearts were absolutely impacted so deeply and changed in the moment that their child or children were born. And I can say the same about my life. The day that our son Josiah was born radically changed our life forever. And with each addition to our family, joy has increased. Love abounds. You know, when Nicole was pregnant with our second child, we were afraid. Not just because of the lack of sleep, but we were afraid because we weren't sure that there would be enough love. Because we loved our first child so much that when the second one was coming, we were nervous that there would be a deficiency. But what we experienced was that as Ellie was born into this world, that a love abounded, and that love that we didn't have in our hearts before all of a sudden became accessible. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? You know, I gotta tell you, and for those who have not gone through the experience or in the process of it or for whatever reason, circumstances in life have just, you know, so people used to tell me, and this is before we had children, that there was going to be so much that I was going to learn about God, about the Heavenly Father, once you have children, that there's some things that you just can't access. There's no way that you can understand until you have kids yourself, and then something unlocks in your own heart, and you figure some stuff out. Has anybody else heard that? Okay, as a young person who was desperately in love with Jesus, that frustrated the daylights out of me. Like, I was thinking about this, and I'm like, how can that be so? Apostle Paul, no kids, right? Not married. Like, this isn't, like, it doesn't make sense. In fact, it ended up being a limiting belief that somehow I was going to be prevented. But what I realized, and maybe some of you have realized, is that every experience in life, the Holy Spirit will take, and he'll reveal pieces of the Father's heart. And so for those who may not have gone through some of the experiences that, you know, that I've described or others have experienced, it doesn't mean that there is a lack, because the person of the Holy Spirit is here, and he is the one who makes all things possible. He's the one that reaches into circumstance, and he's the one who's responsible for revealing the Heavenly Father to us. Are you with me here? So nobody is excluded this morning in this conversation. But I do want to say that what a joy it actually has been. And so if you have the opportunity to have children, please do. Thank you. Yeah, no, please do. It is one of the greatest joys in life, and it's a wonderful experience to behold. And so if you do have the opportunity to do so, you should. Amen. There was like three people that said yes to that. So yeah, okay. when Nikki and I began to have, when we got married and we began to consider kids at the beginning of our marriage, Nick was really not interested in having children whatsoever. Like, and I wanted to have a village. And so our first year and a half of marriage, I was in the United States military. We got married, and my duty stations got separated from my spouse. And so the first year and a half of marriage, Nikki and I lived with each other for 3 months. It was, pretty intense. While I was stationed overseas, away from Nick, at that time, we had to walk out to a payphone to have phone conversations, and then, you know, you drop a serious dime trying to talk to somebody over a payphone back in America. And we're talking on the phone. I'm standing out on a street corner. I'm talking to Nikki, and you know, we've been separated for a while. And I just said, I want to have 8 children. And she's sitting on the other line. I said this, okay? We're basically newlyweds. And kids really hadn't come up in conversation before, but I'm just going to go ahead and drop this one on her from, you know, overseas, that I want to have 8 children. She's not sure that she wants to have any children. And I would just like to say, for the record, we have 8 children. And so the dad trump card of who's always right, boom. We have been married 21 years, and yeah, 21 years of marriage, it's been the only time I've been right. There's a dad joke someone says, yeah. When Jesus came to planet Earth, he came to reveal the Father. He says it about his ministry. I've come to reveal the Father. He when introducing the disciples to the reality of the spiritual world, and he's teaching them, he says of himself that he only does what he sees the Father doing. He only says what he hears the Father saying. There is a point in his ministry where he tells the disciples, listen, no longer are you going to need to approach God in a foreign way, because I'm going to my Father and your Father. He makes the connection for them that the Father in heaven is not just his Father, but that the Father in heaven has become their Father. That truly, through belief in Christ, through connection with Jesus, we have the opportunity to come into connection with the Father of heavenly lights, the Father of all creation, the uncreated God, the one who's above all, in all, through all, our Father. No matter what situation you have experienced in life, no matter what deficiencies your earthly dads have had, no matter what your experience has been, the ultimate expression of what dadhood, fatherhood is supposed to be like is not modeled in our earthly dads, it's modeled in our heavenly Father. And Jesus came in the exact representation of the heavenly Father so that you and I would have opportunity to connect with him. Is anybody alive this morning? The reason Jesus came was so that you would have a direct link to the heavenly Father. When you pray, you're supposed to pray, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your prayer life, your whole spiritual life, connection with heaven, connection with the one who created you. When you pray, when you reach towards heaven, you're supposed to relate towards God as your Father. It's an amazing experience. It's an amazing expression. And it's the reason that Christ came. And so for me personally, I am all for any experience that brings me into a greater revelation of who my Father is. I am all for any opportunity to come to know the Father better. I want to interact with my Father in heaven because he's the one who created me. He's the one who knows your innermost thoughts. He's the one who wired you the way you are. And he's the one who knows who you're supposed to be. He's the one who assigned you a name. He gives you your identity. If you're a person who is in here today and you've been a little lost in life, the answers to life is found in your connection with your heavenly Father. The answers to purpose is found in your connection with your heavenly Father. Life is found in that flow of heaven coming through your connection with your heavenly Father. Is anybody alive this morning? I've just been meditating on it. You know, I spend a lot of time, personally, I spend a lot of time reading in the book of Proverbs, scriptures that are primarily focused on wisdom. They're primarily focused on how life works. If you want to figure out how to do life better, spend time in the Proverbs. It's like having a continuous, like, coach in your life. And that coach happens to be the wisest person who ever graced the planet Earth. Like, that's not a bad gig, right? You know, if you could hire that person to speak into your life continually and, you know, and that was an actual option for you, why wouldn't you do that? And so I spend time reading the Proverbs, and I'm listening to King Solomon's voice. But you know what happens over and over in the Proverbs? Solomon quotes his dad. Solomon, tons of the Proverbs, tons of the wisdom that is passed down to us, the lessons in life, are actually rooted in the lessons that David, Solomon's dad, taught him. And so when you read the Proverbs, this is what you read. This is Proverbs chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. It's one of the examples. There are many, many, many examples. But here's one of them. When I was a son to my father, okay, who's speaking? Solomon. Who's his daddy? David, right? When I was a son to my father, I was tender, and I was the only son in the sight of my mother. King David had multiple wives, and so he had multiple sets of children with those wives, but Bathsheba was Solomon's mom, and Solomon was the only child or son that she bore for David that was alive. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me, and he said, let your heart hold fast to my words, keep my commandments, and live. Doesn't that sound like a dad thing? Let me put that in modern terms. Listen, boy, you will do what I say, or, you know, I brought you into this world, I can take you out of this world. Let your heart hold fast to my words, keep my commandments, and you get to live. The statement right before that one says, he taught me. He said to me, I think one of the great privileges of being a parent is the coaching of another person, the raising, the influencing, the helping to grow, the giving of the equipment for life, preparing another human being to engage life so that they can succeed in life. What an amazing responsibility. What an awesome privilege to be able to get to shape someone's life like that. One of the core principles, the core roles of being a father, of the Heavenly Father, one of the core roles in life of being a son and carrying the role of sonship, of being in the family of God, is that you are being taught and that you take that teaching and you pass it on to others. King David taught his son Solomon. Solomon ends up becoming a rock star in that day. Solomon's the wisest king ever to grace the planet. He is known in that day as the, he's the richest king on the planet, most influential person. He's known throughout the world, you know, for this great wisdom. And Solomon is quoting his dad. Has anybody in here ever had this experience? You're sitting around a dinner table, or, you know, you are out with some friends, or, you know, it's just life. You're just doing life. Doesn't matter what it is. And out of your mouth come some words that sound exactly like your dad was in the room. Does anybody ever? Same inflection of voice, same tone even. It's as I'm growing older, it's happening more and more. There are times where I will say something and all of a sudden I'm like, oh my. Because as it came out of me, it was almost like the resonance of my own father's voice was standing next to me, you know, pulling a ventriloquist act. Because this is the process of life. We receive, we take it in, and then we pass it on. We receive from others. It's not always dads. We learn life lessons from life, from people, from, you know, maybe it was a coach. Maybe it was a teacher. Maybe it doesn't matter the role of the person. This process happens where God in heaven, the Heavenly Father, uses people to bring instruction into our lives. And once that instruction hits our life, it affects us, and hopefully we listen and live. Hopefully we don't have to relearn lessons. You know, I got a bunch of lumps on my head, right? And there are certain lessons in life that I went ahead and chose to learn on my own, but were totally unnecessary because other people learned before me that you ought not do that thing. But I, you know, in my zeal, chose to go ahead and do that thing anyway. And as I did it, look at that, a life lesson. But you know what I found is that some of these lumps remind me of my dad. right? They remind us of the people who passed the lesson on to us. You hit the wall, you learned a lesson, it wasn't easy, it wasn't fun, right? Nobody thinks trials are fun, but you go through it, and all of a sudden it reinforces something that somebody had passed on along the way, a piece of wisdom. And now that lesson, that life lesson, has become solidified within you, and it's waiting. It's sitting there, and it is resonant. It's a real thing. It's a living lesson. It's become a part of your being. You know when a teaching turns into, like, it's not just an instruction, it's where it becomes a part of your life, where the word becomes flesh, where an instruction, all of a sudden, it's not just a life lesson anymore, or it's not external, it's not just a, some sort of mythology, you know, some weird advice. It has now become a part of you because you went through it, and it's sitting in you until something beautiful happens one day. All of a sudden, you find yourself in the presence of somebody who you can see from a mile away because you went through it. You can tell that they are heading down the exact same path you took, and you are forecasting that they are about to get a lump on their head. You have a little bit of prophetic insight here, right? This is the Heavenly Father in you seeing that somebody's about to go through something. And because the word has become flesh, because it's not just an idea, it's not just a concept, it's not just a nice teaching you heard on some podcast someplace, it has become real to you. In those moments, all of a sudden, you have the ability to break off a piece of yourself and pass it on. And when you do, something wonderful takes place. When you pass on that knowledge to the next generation, to a friend, to somebody who is about to go through something, you can see it, maybe has gone through something, but you've been through it before, you know they're going to be okay. When you break off that piece of your life and you share it with them, the flow of heaven comes. You feel heaven smile. You experience life coming into you and going through you. You walk away from that conversation where you gave that piece of advice. It was precious to you. Why was it precious? Because it cost you something. It cost you something. It's not just passing on some MP3 or some podcast, some, you know, CD for everyone over 40. Like, you're not just passing off knowledge. It cost you something. And so here you are breaking off a piece of your life. And when you give it to them, you feel the smile of heaven. Why do you feel the smile of heaven? This is the subject of today. This is what I want you to walk away with from today, is that when you pass on something, you feel a connection with heaven, and there is a reason. Think about Jesus' life for a moment here. It says that, this is John 5, verse 19. John chapter 5, verse 19. Therefore Jesus answered them and said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it's something that he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in a like manner." Jesus is communicating this to someone. Who is he talking to? He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to the ones he chose, he invited along. They have become a part of his life. And he is the teacher, the instructor, and they are the student. They are the disciples. He is the teacher. And look at the lesson that he's passing on. He says, the Son can only do what he sees the Father doing. The Son only speaks what he hears the Father saying. What's he saying here? What's he modeling in this moment? It isn't a lesson. It's not just a nice teaching. It's actually the action. He's talking about, this is how you do life. This is how life flows. This isn't a nice Sunday school lesson. This is Jesus saying, listen, you look at my life, you look at the miracles, the teachings, all the stuff, and crowds gather. But he's just talking to 12 people. He's talking to the crowds because they're there, but he pulls aside with the 12 and lays it out for them. He's trying to teach the 12. He's given his life, pouring his life into the 12. He's modeling something to them. He goes, hey, look it. I only do what I see the Father do. I learned my behavior from someplace. I'm not just making it up. I'm not just doing my own thing. I have seen this before. In fact, the word sees, it's an awesome word. You know, it says, therefore that Jesus answered and said, truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless he sees the Father doing it. That word sees, it's a present tense verb. Present tense, meaning right now, see. It's right now interactive connectedness with the Heavenly Father. And so, you know, charismatic churches, we like to emphasize the present tense reality of the person of the Holy Spirit, who is right here in every moment, and he's teaching you how you should behave in this moment. Are you with me here? Okay, but this word means more than that if you actually think about it in a broader term. Because God is not in, he's not in the confines of time. The Father in heaven is in eternity, outside of time. Time is a created thing. So when we think of seas in present tense, we're thinking of like right now in this moment. Let's look spiritually, let's see what God's doing right now. And then let's just do that. And so we feel restrained by what we can see God doing right now. As if we, you know, is God healing right now? Is God ministering to the poor right now? Like we're looking around. Are you with me here? Has anyone ever thought about these things before? Or maybe it ain't the first time I've been nuts, so it's fine. We have a perspective that we look and as if we need to perceive what the Father is doing in the moment in time in order then to do what the Father's doing. But Father in heaven is not in time. So when Jesus is talking about the Son only does what he sees the Father doing, he's talking about his eternal relationship with the uncreated God, who is present in every moment and has been for all eternity. And so Jesus, who sees how the Father behaves, how the Father does things, what the Father does, what the Father is like, Jesus is the exact representation of the Father, not because he is perceiving spiritually what's happening, but because he knows his dad. He's been around his dad forever. It's a principle of relational connection and the flow of heaven into any and every moment in your life. Do you want to know the Father? Do you want to have the flow of eternal life that's been promised you, the river of life abounding in your world continuously? Are there areas of your life that you feel absolutely stuck? You don't know what to do. Life is stagnant. Maybe there's no joy. Maybe you're just whatever. I mean, come on. Can we get real for a moment this morning? I know it's Father's Day. Don't worry. I'll shut her down. You can go have lunch. Like, hang with me for a moment, though, here. Think about this. Are there some areas of your life that's just like, woo, is great? I mean, worship this morning, last night. Like last night, we didn't even get to the preach. Like the presence of God just came. And we worshiped for over 2 hours. It was incredible. Ministry flowing, people, it was just wrecked. It was awesome. It was just so much fun, right? We hung out with God. He did his thing. It was great, right? In moments like that, it's easy to go, whoo, heaven is here. God's doing his thing. I feel life and joy, and it's all good. And then you go home to a frustration, a broken water pipe, that door that just doesn't shut right, you know, the kids did something, whatever, right? And there is, it's not the same level of flow of heaven. Anybody with me here? Maybe for you, it's the job. Maybe for you, it's your marriage. Maybe for you, it's relationship with one of your children, or you know, it's just life. There's places in life where it doesn't feel like life is flowing, where heaven smile, you can feel God smile over your life, and life is flowing. If you have areas of life like that, this lesson is the lesson for you. Jesus said, I do what I see my Father doing. I behave the way my Father behaves. I make my decisions in every moment based on, and here Jesus is modeling it to the disciples. He's not just behaving that way. He's teaching others to also behave that way. In other words, what originated in heaven and came to him flowed through him to someone else. I find it interesting that we only have 3.5 years of recorded history about Jesus' life. Anybody else find that interesting? It says the start of his ministry. Here we have the Son of God dwelling amongst people for 30 years. And we got like one story. You know, we have, there are like little glimpses into like Jesus ditched his family to hang out in the temple. You know, like teenagers do. You know, but we don't really have the rest of the glimpse because the image and the ministry is the demonstration of what came into him and then flowed through him. What we have recorded is what flowed through him. I wonder how much of life gets stuck simply because it stopped flowing through us and we just held on to it. Like we thought it was for us, and so we went, yes, sweet, thank you, Jesus. And then we held on to it. The prophetic word, the, you know, someone gave you a gift, whatever it was, it flowed to you and then it stopped there. And you're wondering why there's no joy in it anymore. You were of great joy when it came to you, but now there's no more joy in it. Why isn't there more joy in it? Why isn't heaven still shining on that bright, shiny thing you got those years ago? Okay, dads, you'll get this one, okay? You've been dreaming about a new car. Anybody in here ever thought about a new car? Not car people. I don't know. Give me a pickup truck, Dave. Thank you. Okay, new pickup truck. That's his. Okay. You're making me work way too hard. It's Father's Day. It's my day too. Come on. You dream about that new thing, right? Okay, yeah. Now you're agreeing. You dream about that new thing, and then it comes to you. Either you worked hard for it, you went and got it, you whatever, and now it's sitting in your driveway, and it's 6 months later, it's a year later, whatever, and now it's just your car, it no longer has joy. Why? See, you were dreaming, and you were pursuing, and you wanted it to be added unto you. But once it was added unto you, the flow of life stopped. Do you want the joy to keep going around that truck, around that vehicle? Give it away. Yep. Come on. Go find someone who that was their dream vehicle. You know what's going to happen in you? You are going to give it away to someone, and then all of a sudden, all the feels, all of it, all the joy, all the excitement, you're going to see it on someone else's face, and the flow of heaven and the smile of heaven is going to come upon you, and you're going to feel it. Boom. There is this. Are you alive? I think that's the joy of the dad who built the car with his father and then gets to do it with his son and then gets to pass it off and then watches it reproduce. Like, you see the joy continue to be revisited and there is a flow of life. It's because it is modeling who your Father in heaven is. Jesus came in the exact representation of the Heavenly Father. And so when Jesus says, listen, boys, I only do what I saw Dad do, and now I'm teaching you to do likewise, he's actually modeling, hey, I got it, I pass it off to you, you got it, now it's your job to pass it off. There is this illustration in nature. It's an amazing illustration. Anybody in here ever visited the nation of Israel? Not a lot of us. Okay. Who's setting up the trip to Israel? Let's all go. Come on. Can you imagine if all of us went? Woo! We'd, boom! We'd blow something up. It'd be awesome. In a good way. God way. Not, woo, no. In a worship way. How about that? In a worship way. Wow. We'll just chalk that up to a dad joke, all right? Bad dad joke. Okay, in the nation of Israel, there is this place called the Sea of Galilee, okay? And there is something called the Jordan River. The river starts above the Sea of Galilee. It flows into the Sea of Galilee where the body of water grows. It's a lake. It's 8 miles by 10 miles wide. At least it was when I was there. Maybe it's grown a little bit. I don't know. It is a very large body of water. It's where all the stories of Jesus, you know, happened around this lake, okay? That river continues on out of the Sea of Galilee, and it continues downhill, really, to one of the lower places on planet Earth, which is known as the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is the Dead Sea because all of the nutrients and life, all the little fishies, everything that was teeming with life in the Sea of Galilee and finds its way onto the river and then keeps going down, when it hits the Sea of Galilee, or the Dead Sea, there is no exit point. What was alive flowing into it dies eventually because there is no exit. To me, that is the picture of the modern church in so many ways. Why you could have a rocking on fire church in one generation and a dead one in the next, it's because you didn't do anything with the stuff that God gave you. Yeah. It flowed in, and we thought it was for us. Wow. We received it unto us. We're like, yeah, the promise of God that we are somebody. And then, did we pass it on? Did we give it away? Did we do anything with it? Did the promise outlive us, or do we still think it's just about us? Thank you. In the military, I fixed electronics. I worked on communication equipment. I worked a lot with live electricity and circuitry and power. I have assumed that I am capable of, in the past, I'll admit, as a dad, true confessions this morning, that I can't always fix everything. Okay, I feel better. Thank you. We were remodeling a room, and we put up a wall, and we had to put new we had to put new plugs, electronics, outlets, yeah, circuit. Wire up the room, continue it on from previous power into new power. It should be a no-brainer. It's like, duh, right? It's like water flows. You just plug it in. It works. I don't know why it doesn't work. Well, we finished it all up, buttoned her all up, turned the power on. It didn't work. Woo! Yep. Turns out that, and if you're not unsure of this or didn't understand this before, that power has to make a complete loop. It starts someplace, and it has to be able to flow through in order for the power to move. In other words, it has an entrance point, and it must have an exit point in order for the power to work. Have you ever wondered why some people move in miracles and signs and wonders, and others don't? Have you ever wondered why some people's ministries and life seem to have the flow of heaven coming into them, and it has effect, and God's just doing stuff in their life? And then you maybe reflect on situations in your own life or other people and wonder what's going on. The power cannot come out of you unless it has both an entrance point and an exit point. If it just has an entrance point and that outlet is not connected to ground, or connected to another circuit, or flowing into some device that you are plugged the sucker into, right? In other words, if the circuit is broken, no worky. If you would like life to return to some of these areas where it's just stuck, and it's a little bit dead right now, and maybe you're really scratching your head and you're wondering what in the world happened here. It had life in one moment and no longer has life anymore. It's because you didn't give it away. In the kingdom, you only get to keep what you give away. The flow of life will stop on things that you hold and keep to yourself. The only way to keep something is to be generous with it. The only way to discover more of who the Father in heaven is, what he is like, is yes, absolutely, have quiet times, connect in, be connected to him. He's going to pour into you. But if for some reason you've been connecting with God, you've been soaking in his presence, you've been pursuing intimacy, you've been going after everything that you should be doing in order to have life in you, and it's no longer working, check the outflow. The promise that came to you that brought such hope is not just for you, it is supposed to be passed on. That's how money works. If you hold it to yourself, mine, you stockpile it, there won't be joy in it. But the one who chooses and to give and to sow, to take care of the poor, to give it away, to raise up others, to teach others how you did that so that they can have an abundant life. The one who is always searching for ways to give it away, the philanthropist, the ones who's, you know, it is, absolutely. It's the sowing into churches and other nonprofit organizations. It's the giving it away. Life comes to something because it flows through you. It's not just about receiving. Life is lived when both are connected. Are you alive this morning? Would you stand to your feet? And by the way, absolutely, we figured out the remodel, and yes. That's right, there you go. Justify myself in the sight of my fellow fathers here, yes. Can I tell you a secret in ministry? Especially for those who you have a heart for that, you want to see God do stuff through your life. Anytime you're feeling stuck spiritually, go pray for somebody. Go find somebody that's worse off than you and give. Go. You have to uncork the thing if you want more to flow in. So on days when I come in this room and I'm stuck, and I've been pursuing God all week, but for whatever reason, something's going on. The best thing, I know it. The best thing I can do is start ministering to people, because as soon as the stuff starts flowing out of me, even though often it's the last thing in the world you want to do, that's the very reason you should do it. Because as soon as you start giving it away, then you'll feel the very flow of eternal life come back into those situations that you felt were missing. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning as a people. Lord, we recognize that we don't need another lesson. We are not those who are requiring, Lord God, more. Lord, we don't need more things. We see it, God. We have an abundance of stuff. We have an abundance of lessons. You've taught us well. God, there's so much you've poured into us. Lord, we recognize that our need is not for just more of you, that there is a great need for us to give away what you've already given to us. Father, I'm asking this morning that you would connect the dots for people. Holy Spirit, would you connect the dots for people? Lord. The dads, the moms in the room, you felt stuck in the relationship with the kid, you don't know what to do. Maybe you should pull them aside, go teach them something. Maybe you should connect hard. Go give life away. Father, I'm asking this morning that you would connect the dots in our hearts, our lives. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the abundance of opportunity in our world to give away what you've given. And I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you would go before us and that you would set up those good works that we could walk in them. Holy Spirit, this day we recognize you have been working in us. You're attempting to work through us. Not like a lake, God, but like a river. So, Father, I pray this morning that you would give abundant grace. Lord, we speak to the dams in our life, the stuff that has, we've put up the brakes, we've said, we're not going to do that anymore because of pain, we're not going to do that anymore because of past experience, I'm not going to do that because of trust issues, whatever it is that has stopped up the river from flowing. Lord, I thank you today that there is a power from heaven, Lord, to remove the obstacles in life, and so we give you permission this morning, Holy Spirit. Lord, that love would flow again, that you'd break down every wall, every hindrance, every chain that has bound us, kept us from giving away what you put in us. All the restrictions and the feelings, Lord, that prevent us, Lord. God, I thank you that things like greed would be destroyed in the midst of us. That we would be a church family that is so generous with people, with our lives, with our time. God, that the blessing of heaven would pour in us and through us. God, I pray that you would connect us to people that have need that we actually have solutions for, that we might be able to mentor and pass it on. God, I pray for opportunities to do things like being a Sunday school teacher or being an aide in the public school system, or just, Lord, being able to contribute to lives, Lord, of young people, Lord, of the next generation, to be able to mentor people and to give it away, God, all the stuff you've given to us. My Father, I thank you for it all. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd come right now. Holy Spirit, come. Have your way. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Lord. Thank you, God. going to close by doing one activity. We've had you do it many times in this church before. If you're visiting today, welcome. What I'd like for you to do right now is just place a hand on someone that's near you, put it on their shoulder or something. We are going to, right now, we're just going to pray for somebody. I want you just to pray that God would impart to them, would give them, that he would pour into their life and that he would use them powerfully to touch somebody else's life. Would you just pray that prayer? Come on, you need it yourself, and so you should give it away this morning. God, use them powerfully. Connect them to somebody that needs what they got, God. Come on, don't be afraid. Lord, use them powerfully, Lord, that their lives might matter beyond themselves. The next generation be raised up, God. You'd do something wonderful and awesome that heaven would flow through. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place, and now I bless your people. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May he be so incredibly gracious to you that you would know his favor and that it would flow through you, and that the kingdom of peace, his shalom, would rest on your life, and that you would advance it everywhere you go. I bless you today in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody who agreed with that said, come on, can we give a good clap?